Radio Theater Project. Theater of the Mind for today. Comedies and dramas, mysteries and science fiction, old stories and new. Radio Theater Project. Theater of the Mind for today.
Classic Stories presents The Mysterious Key by Louisa May Alcott. This story was written in 1867 by the author of Little Women. Instead of writing about a middle-class American family, here she creates mystery and romance around the lives of the upper class in Victorian England. Now, The Mysterious Key and What It Opened, adapted for radio by Heather Elliott.
Come now, Lillian. It's time we went in.
Oh, come quick. There's a dead man in the ferns.
Poor lad's only asleep, dearie. Not dead.
What?
What do you want, lad?
Is Lady Trevelyan here?
She is.
I'm to deliver a note to her.
I'm not so...
Mama, here's a person to see you.
Yes, Hester. And who is this?
A note from Colonel Daventry, my lady.
My dear friend, the bearer of this, Paul Jex, has been with me some months and has served me well. I brought him from Paris, but he is an English-born and is honest, capable, and trustworthy in all respects. Pray, try him in any position. Yours sincerely, J.R. Daventry. The Colonel says you are English.
My father was an Englishman, but I lived abroad a good deal since he died.
Your age?
16, my lady.
What work can you do?
I can break horses, serve the table, do errands, read aloud, ride after a young lady as a groom, illuminate on parchment, train flowers, anything you need done.
Hester, perhaps Paul can escort Lillian as she goes riding. Roger is getting rather old for the task.
Well, we might try it by and by, if he does well about the place first.
We'll try you for a month. Hester, take him to Parks and see that he's made comfortable. Come, darling, let's return to the house.
Yes, Mama.
Young man, you'd best come along.
Please, tell me, is my lady ill?
Always delicate since Sir Richard died. That was the night Miss Lillian was born, nearly 13 years ago.
Are there no other young gentlemen in the family?
No, Miss Lillian is an only child, and a sweet one, bless her.
A proud little lady, I should say.
She's a lonely little creature. Now, go in over there and report yourself to the keeper. Gracious child, don't wolf down your breakfast like that. What's so important this morning that you can't stop to eat a decent meal?
I've got a letter to post.
Another one? You've been posting one every few days. How's your gardening work coming along?
Oh, I'm not working in the garden any longer.
What? You've only been here a week.
True, but my lady asked me to be Miss Lillian's page around the house.
Well, if that doesn't...
I really need to post this letter, if you please.
I'm sorry, lad. Get along, then.
Much obliged.
Today is the end of your 30 days, Paul.
Yes, my lady.
You're to stay if you choose to, for Lillian is happy and I'm pleased with your work.
Thank you, my lady.
Now, you spoke of being able to illuminate on parchment. Can you restore this old book for me?
Yes, my lady. I can retouch the faded colors and darken the ink. I enjoy the work.
Do it then, but be very careful of the book while it is in your hand. It holds the entire Trevelyan family history. Provide what is needed and name your own price for the work.
Nay, my lady, I'm already paid to...
How so?
You've been kind to me, and I'm very glad to show my gratitude, my lady.
Let that pass, my boy. Do this little service for me, and we will see about the recompense afterwards.
Trevelyan lands and Trevelyan gold, heir nor heiress e'er shall hold, undisturbed till spite of rust, truth is found in Trevelyan dust. Another proof! I wish I could see your face, Father Cosmo, when you get my next letter. I'll keep my word in spite of everything.
What is that you'll keep, lad?
I'll keep my word to my lady, and do my best to restore this old book, Mrs. Hester.
Oh, that's the last book poor Master read.
Did he die suddenly, then?
Dear heart, yes. I found him dying in this very room, with the ink scarce dry on the letter he left for my lady. A mysterious business, and a sad one.
Tell me about it. I like sad stories, and I already feel as if I belong to the family.
No, no, lad. It's much too sad. Oh, all right. But mind you, you didn't hear it from me.
Oh, no, ma'am.
One night, nearly 13 years ago, a mysterious man called on Sir Richard, and they met privately in this very room. After the stranger left, my lady fell ill, and when I came to tell the master, I found him seated at his desk, dying. Miss Lillian was born only hours after that. My lady was very ill for a time, and seemed to welcome death, but something in Sir Richard's lost letter rallied her.
What did it say?
No one ever knew but my lady.
She destroyed it, then?
I thought so, for a long time. It's not burnt, she said, but no one shall ever see it.
That's all?
I dared not ask more, but I fancy she has it safe somewhere. It is a strange story. Remember, lad?
Keep silent about it, I know.
Impudent. Stop sitting around, child, and get to work on that book. Paul? There's someone in the house. Where is that boy? Oh, I do believe it was... Paul!
Huh? What is it?
Come, come. No tricks now, boy.
Hester, is it you?
You should be ashamed. What mischief are you up to, leaving your bed and playing ghost?
Leaving my bed? Why, I haven't stirred all night.
On my faith, you have. I saw a figure in the hall, and when I came to get you to help me find who it was, you were gone. Not 5 minutes later, you're wrapped in a cape, sneaking into your own room.
Oh, I walk in my sleep sometimes, Hester, and that's the truth. I thought I'd gotten over it, but it's come back, I guess.
No mischief, then?
None. Did I frighten you?
Just a trifle, but it's nothing. Poor lad, you'll need to be locked up at night. It's a dangerous thing it is.
No, please don't. It shan't last much longer. You see, I get myself quite tired and then I sleep sounder. You won't tell anyone, they'll only laugh at me.
Good night, dear. I'll not say a word, but get to sleep now.
Yes, ma'am. She actually believed that.
Come over here, Paul, and ride near me.
Yes, Miss Lillian.
Here, I want to stick a posy in your buttonhole like the ladies' groom have in the park.
Thanks, Miss Lillian. I'll wear your colours with all my heart. Especially today, for it's my birthday.
Is it? Why, then you're 17, almost a man.
Yes, thank heaven.
I must give you something, Paul, because I like you very much. What shall it be?
My dear lady, I want nothing but your goodwill and forgiveness.
You'll always have my goodwill. Oh, you're wearing a locket like Mama does.
It's nothing, miss.
Is it your sweetheart's portrait in there? I know because Bessie complains that you won't take any notice of her. Is your sweetheart pretty?
Very pretty.
Would you die for her, like in the old songs?
Yes, Miss Lillian. Or live for her, which is harder.
Ah, how nice it would be to have someone care for me like that. Will you marry this sweetheart of yours someday?
Perhaps.
You look as if there is no perhaps about it.
She's very young and I must wait. And while I wait, many things may happen to part us.
Is she a lady?
Yes, a well-born, lovely little lady. And I'll marry her if I live.
But you're a gentleman, so no one will mind, even if you're not rich.
How do you know what I am?
I heard Hester talking. She said you're not what you seemed, but that someday she hoped you'd get your right place back again. I'm not to speak of it, but Mama means to be your friend and to help you by and by.
Oh, does she?
You're proud, I know it, but you'll let us help you because we like to do it, and I have no brother to share my money with.
Would you like one or a sister?
Yes, indeed. I'm selfish, I know, because everyone spoils me, but if I loved a person dearly enough, I'd give up anything to them.
It makes me happy to hear you say so.
Don't you think some flowers will please Mama? Maybe they'll make her forget my prank yesterday.
You? A prank? Hardly.
but she got cross with me when I opened her locket while she was sleeping. I only wanted to see a portrait of my papa.
How did you know there was one in it?
Mama was mumbling in her sleep and said something about papa and a letter. I've never seen a portrait of him, you know.
So what did he look like?
I don't know. There was only an old key inside.
A key? What sort of key?
Oh, a little silver one, like the key of my piano.
What did it belong to, do you know?
Her treasure box, she said. I don't know what she meant, but she forbade me to mention it to her again. How grim and old you look. Have I said something that troubles you?
No, Miss Lillian. I'm only thinking.
Then I wish you wouldn't, for you get a great wrinkle in your forehead. You're a very odd person, Paul, and as happy as a lark one moment, and the next as stern and grave as a man with a lot of work to do.
I have got a great deal of work to do.
What work, Paul?
To make my fortune and win my lady. Come now, I'll race you back to the stables. Ready? Go!
What's wrong, my lady?
There is someone in the chamber. Come quick.
Are you sure?
Yes, there was a light and a shadow here.
There's no light. I don't see anything out of place, my lady. Nothing of Sir Richard's has been disturbed.
You forgot to look there on the bed.
See, my lady, there's nothing. It's Sir Richard! We saw him there, Kingston, as dead as the night he was buried.
Could it have been a prank? Paul, perhaps. He's the only one in the house who didn't come running when my lady screamed.
No, it couldn't be him. I locked him in his room myself. The poor lad walks in his sleep sometimes.
Are you sure you saw a person there, not just imagining a face?
When I looked again, there was a mark on the pillow of a head resting there. No, someone was there.
And you checked the house thoroughly?
Yes, my lady. There's no sign of the lad. His door is locked just the way I left it.
And he made no mention of anything being amiss?
No, my lady. Although...
Speak up, man. It may be important to finding the boy.
When I got the post yesterday morning, there was a letter for him from Italy.
Italy?
It's not like him, Mama. Why would Paul run away like this? We were so nice to him.
I don't know, darling.
He will come back, won't he, Mama?
I hope he does, Lillian.
Lillian, Lillian.
Yes?
Oh, there you are. Come hear the most exciting news.
What is it, Maud?
He's my hero, Lillian, and we're to see him tonight.
Who are you speaking of?
That young Englishman in the papers. The one who risked his life to save a council of officers from the shell during the Italian Revolution.
Yes, what of him?
Well, an Englishman discovered he was poor and orphaned, so he adopted him and gave him his name and fortune when he died.
Oh, how romantic!
Young Mr. Talbot is here in England to take possession of his new property. He's brought along his fiancée Helen, a lovely Greek girl a few years older than us.
How is it we are here to see him tonight? That's what you said, isn't it?
Mrs. Langdon.
Really?
It's a wonder young Talbot even agreed to come. I hear he's just grave and doesn't care much for pleasure and admiration.
Lillian, dear, I must go over and speak to a few friends for a moment. I'll be right back over.
That's all right. I'll just stay here and see if I can catch a glimpse of Mr. Talbot. He does seem quite handsome and so martial. It's Paul! It's Paul! Oh, I hope he likes me. Oh, no, he's coming over here. I'll pretend I don't know him, and we'll see what he says to that.
Ah, there you are, my dear. I'd like to introduce Mr. Talbot, Miss Trevlyn.
Mr. Talbot hardly needs an introduction here, for we all know his name, though this is perhaps his first visit to England?
No, I was here a few years ago, for a short time and left with regrets.
Then you have old friends here?
I had. They've doubtless forgotten me.
Why doubt them? If they were true friends, they would never forget you.
That remains to be proved. Do you sing, Miss Trevlyn?
No.
Don't belittle yourself, Lillian. Come, dear, there are so few of us here. There's no need for you to decline. She sings quite charmingly.
Please do, Miss Trevlyn.
Very well.
How do you like him?
Oh, very well.
Mr. Talbot seemed quite taken with you.
What's the use? He's already engaged.
But he's not. When Miss Langdon asked him directly, he said that Helen was his ward.
His ward? That's absurd. He's only a boy himself still. It's very odd, isn't it? But never mind. I'll soon know all about it.
How?
You just wait a day or two. Oh, your mother is beckoning, so Hester must be here for me. Good night. I've had such a charming time, Maud.
Thank you for coming along, dear.
May I escort you to your carriage, Miss Trevelyan?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Talbot.
You had a pleasant evening, I hope.
Very much, thank you.
Your carriage.
Thank you, Mr. Talbot.
Good night, my little mistress.
Mama, I met Maud in the park and she pointed out Helen, Paul's betrothed.
And I've seen Paul himself.
Good afternoon.
Oh, Mr. Talbot is welcome in whatever guise he appears.
I'm here today as Paul, Miss Lillian. Please have a seat.
Now, tell us your adventures and why you vanished away so mysteriously 4 years ago.
I was just about to do so, my lady, when Miss Lillian appeared with news concerning my cousin.
Cousin?
Yes. Her mother and mine were sisters. Helen was in the care of an old priest while I was here before, but when he died unexpectedly, I was obliged to return to Italy to take care for her. I meant to take my leave of you properly, my lady, but that foolish trick of mine scared me away in the most unforgiving manner.
Ah, it was you then. I always thought so.
I heard that the room was haunted, so I sneaked in to see for myself. I thought it was Hester coming in, and I only meant to give her a scare. I should have begged pardon before. I do now, most humbly.
Of course you're forgiven. It was a mere boyish prank. No harm done. I was delighted to hear what had become of you.
Yes, I have a home, thanks to my generous benefactor, and I hope to enjoy it well and wisely. But my work is only half done.
And when is the other half to be accomplished, Paul? That depends on your cousin, perhaps.
Yes, it does. But not in the way that you think, my lady. Whatever Helen may be, she isn't my fiancée yet, Miss Lillian.
I merely accepted the world's report.
The world is a liar, as you will find out in time.
I hope to see this beautiful cousin, Paul. Will she see us, as old friends of yours?
Many thanks for your kindness, my lady. But she is still too much a stranger here to enjoy new faces, even kind ones. However, you will be the first she sees.
Would you stay for dinner, Paul?
Thank you, but no. I have business out of town this evening. If I may be so bold as to request that you say nothing of my time here with you 4 years ago, I think it best not to excite gossip.
Of course, dear boy. To all of society, you're simply a new-made friend.
Many thanks. Afternoon, my lady. Miss Lillian.
Please, Miss Lillian, why must we go out right now?
Because I want to know why Helen refuses to come see us. Paul won't talk about her. He always looks grave and grim when I ask questions, though he is terribly fond of her. It's provoking, and I won't stand for it.
What is my part in this mischief, then?
You distract the maid so that then I can sneak into the villa. Bear it any longer. Oh, Paul, please forgive me. I've deceived you, and I can't have any peace until I'm pardoned.
What on earth are you talking about, Lillian?
I've seen Helen.
What?
Last week, after your first visit, I went over to the villa. Helen was in the garden, wandering around, mumbling to herself. Oh, Paul, can you ever forgive me for spying on her?
I could forgive you a far greater fault than that, Lillian.
But deceit is so mean, so dishonorable and contemptible. How can you forgive me so quickly?
Then you would find it hard to forgive such a thing in another?
Yes, it would be hard, but for love's sake I could.
Oh, how little you've changed. Do you remember that last ride we had together and what we talked about?
That childish gossip when you vowed to win and wed your little lady love if you lived?
Yes, and so I will.
What? Marry her? Oh, Paul, would you really marry a...
A what? What are you talking about?
Poor Helen, she's mentally hindered, isn't she?
Good heavens, who told you that base lie?
I saw her, and you didn't deny it. Hester said it was so, and I believed it. Oh, Paul, have I wronged her?
Yes, cruelly. She's blind, yes, but no idiot, thank God.
I'm so ashamed. I could never dare to see her after this. Forgive me, and forget this whole folly. It's the anniversary of Papa's death, and...
It's your birthday, too, I remember. Here, Lillian, this ring is a talisman, a charm for protection and good fortune. Wear it for my sake. And God bless you, dear. Whether or not our claim will stand on the proof we have doesn't matter. There's no reason to wait any longer. We must follow them down the hall, Helen.
Whatever happens, we'll still have each other. I'm a burden, but I cannot live without you.
I'm tired of disguises. Would it break your heart, darling, if I...
No! No, you shall not give it up. You've waited so long, worked so hard, suffered so much. You mustn't lose your reward. You promised me, Paul.
Isn't it noble to forgive, to return a blessing for a curse? They're blameless in this whole affair. My lady has suffered enough already, and Lillian is so young, so happy.
Don't you understand? We're as innocent as they are. We've suffered more, and we deserve our rights. We haven't any sin to hide like they do. Forget that sentimental folly that unmans you.
I'll do it only because I promised.
What's the matter, love? Are you ill?
I'm ashamed to tell you, but perhaps you can cure my folly. I came away to escape Paul.
Because he loves you, Lillian?
No, because he doesn't, Mama.
I'm sorry you're upset, but I'm quite relieved. He's no match for you, Lillian. Remember that.
But he's well-born and my equal now.
That may be so, but there's a mystery about him. Are you sure he does not care for you? I fancied I saw it in his face several times. I thought you came here wanting to spare him any more pain.
Oh, Mama, he loves Helen and plans to marry her even though she's blind.
You've only known Paul as a man for a short time, Lillian, dear. Call pride to your aid and remember that there are others, better, braver, and more worthy of you.
I'll not disgrace you by any sentimental folly. I do love Paul, but I can conquer it, and I will. Just give me a little time.
Mr. Talbot, my lady.
Send him in.
Oh, I can't face him yet, Mama.
Why don't you stand to the side somewhere until I know why he's come?
Yes, yes, I'll do that. I'll sit in the corner of the window seat and pull the curtain around me. He can't see me there.
Paul, how good it is to see you.
Pardon me, Lady Trevelyan. Hear what I have to say. If you still offer me your hand, I shall greatly receive it then.
Speak freely, and remember that I am an old friend.
I wish I could forget it. Then my task would be easier.
And what would that be?
I must tell you a long story and ask your forgiveness. A mistaken sense of duty guided me as a boy, and I obeyed it blindly. I see my error now, and I regret it.
Go on.
20 years ago, Sir Richard met a friend in a little village in Italy, where he fell in love and married the sister of his friend's wife. They were wed privately. His father died suddenly a few months later, and Sir Richard returned home. News came that all three had died in a cholera outbreak. Sir Richard covered his grief by shutting himself in his country home. By chance, he met and married another beautiful young woman. Less than a year after their marriage, the dead friend appeared unannounced, saying that his wife still lived and had borne him a child.
Yes, yes, I know. Go on.
An old priest had mistaken the two sisters. Sir Richard wrote the truth in a letter to my lady, meaning to commit suicide, but his heart gave out before he could.
I know.
The friend lived only long enough to reach home, and the news killed the wife. The child was left in the care of the old priest with instructions to secure his father's name. Though a mere boy, it was determined to come to England and find that missing proof. I'm ashamed to confess, my lady, that I copied many of the keys here and feigned my sleepwalking as I collected my proof. No one but my lady knew where Sir Richard's confession was hidden. News of Father Cosmo's death called me back to Italy. For 4 years, I never made any effort to secure this title with the meager proof I hold.
Why not?
I was grateful that you took me in. I could never forget that, and it afflicted me even while I was here. But Helen gave me no peace. She threatened to tell the story herself. Talbot's benefaction left me no excuse, and I returned to finish the hardest task I've ever undertaken. Fate befriended me. I have found the final proof. Sir Richard's letter.
Found? Where?
In Sir Richard's coffin, where you hid it, my lady.
Who has betrayed me?
You, my lady. You were sleeping fitfully on the couch last night when I came to confront you with this. You were talking of a paper, safe in its writer's keeping, and the key that you wear around your neck in a locket. I took your key, my lady, and I found the paper on Sir Richard's dead body. Now I demand that you confess to your part in this affair.
Yes, I do confess. I relinquish everything and ask pity for my only child.
Why should I not pity her? God knows I would have spared her this, but Helen would not keep me silent. Tell Lillian this and beg her not to hate me.
Oh, Paul, my brother.
But I'm not.
Then in heaven's name, who are you?
Your suitor, darling.
Then who is the heir?
I am.
What?
Helen?
You told your story badly, Paul. You forgot me. Forgot my affliction, my loneliness, my wrongs. I am Sir Richard's eldest daughter. I can prove my birth, and I demand my right with his own words. Paul has done all the work. He shall have the reward. I want only my father's name. I coveted and claimed the title and fortune so that I could give them to you, Paul, my one friend.
I've kept my promise. You chose to claim your title, and I offered all I had to keep you silent. It's yours, Helen. Take it and enjoy it if you can. I'll have no reward for work like this.
Yes, I will keep it since I'm to lose everything else. I'm tired of pity. Power is sweet, and I will use it. Get out of here, Paul, and be happy if you can with your nameless wife.
Oh, Lillian, where shall we go? Who will receive us now?
I will. My lady, you gave me a home when I was homeless. Now let me pay my debt. My darling Lillian, it's your picture I still wear in my locket, and you I vowed to marry. I dared not speak of it before. Please, let me protect and cherish the both of you.
Oh, Paul, I'm so happy. Poor Helen, we both have the same father, and should love each other in spite of this misfortune. Helen, please, may I call you my sister?
Not yet. Wait till I deserve it. I can forgive, too. I yield my claim and promise eternal silence. I'll always be known as Paul's cousin. You are happy, for you love one another. Forgive me. Pity me and take me in. I'm all alone.
My daughter, come to me. Nothing more will be said of this.
Dear sister, we are all family now. Paul and I, and Mama and you. The world need never know our secret.
My lady, I return to you your key, and beg forgiveness for having stolen it from you.
For years I hid that key, dreading the day its secret would be unveiled. Instead, it's given me a new life, a son, and a beautiful daughter. I forgive you, Paul, and thank you.
This was The Mysterious Key, written by Louisa May Alcott, adapted for radio by Heather Elliott. In the cast were Noelle Eshte as Lillian Trevlin, Benjamin Crabill as Paul Jex, Christine Yautsey as Lady Alice Trevlin, Joanna Bruno as Hester the Maid, Amanda Zentz as Helen Trevlin, Dina Straub as Maud Churchill, Valerie Leslie as Mrs. Langdon, and Joseph McGuire as Kingston the Butler. I'm your announcer, Janice Gage. Theme, Sonata for Flute, Cello, and Harpsichord by Antonio Lotti. Edited by Jay Charles. Produced by Joseph C. McGuire. Recorded at KSVR Studios. This has been Radio Theater Project, an anthology of modern radio theater, presented by KSVR Studios.